Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Suki Cooper. Suki, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Suki, you walked through the microeconomics of commodities and this mystery of how each of them will work in an IMF slower global economy. Which commodity do I need to own if I presume weaker demand?
It's a good question, because when we look at the complex as a whole, gold is the one that stands out here. The macro environment has shifted such that after the announcement of QE3, we've got some of the gold hurdles, such as the dollar strength, actually moving aside. And in an environment of slower growth, the physical side for gold has actually been disappointing for much of this year already. So if we start to see the growth investment demand that we have done already, then gold seems to be the one that would be best posed here.
It's interesting because a lot of people say that the Fed's QE program is intended to raise asset prices, inflate asset prices, like commodities, but it hasn't done that for too many metals aside from gold. Oil is getting a pop, though, from the renewed tensions in the Middle East. Is this going to be something that could become more structural for oil?
Here we have a forecast for the fourth quarter at 117 for Brent, and we've had that forecast in place since July last year. So we're really looking for a quarter with different movements here. Some consolidation, yes, the geopolitical risks have risen, but we're really looking for prices to ease from where they are at the moment. But so we'd say the geopolitical risks are the greatest at this point for oil.
I look, Suki, at commodities, and it's China, 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 and that. Tell us about the more minor commodities, zinc, lead, and the others. Which is one where there could be advantages in 2013?
Across the base metals as a whole, we see aluminium as the one with the weakest balance across the base metals here. We see the market being in surplus, and we expect the market to remain in a greater surplus as well going forward. And that's a trend that we expect to continue into 2013. Relatively across the complex, perhaps the one that we're most friendly towards at this stage is copper. But really, whether we're looking at markets in surplus or deficit across the base metals, the demand side has become quite interesting for all six metals, and really is what's going to start to differentiate the moves across the complex. Mm.
Suki, I want to talk about demand of gold. How is it inflected right now by demand in Southern Asia and also by the ETFs?
This is a really different change that we've seen, actually the biggest change that we've seen in 2012. Last year, the physical demand, particularly out of India, was so important in providing the support for gold prices on the downside. Every time we saw a dip, we saw good buying coming through from India and China. But this year, that has changed. We've seen the changes in import tax, the weakness of the rupee, actually meaning that local prices are at record highs in India, which has actually depressed demand somewhat. So we've seen a shift, and for most of this year, that we saw demand being light in terms of physical interest, and investment demand was quite light as well. But in the run-up to QE3, what we've seen is that the investment side has certainly picked up, and ETF holdings, those backed by physical gold, are actually at record highs now.
Hmm.
But interestingly, on the physical side, because there's concerns that we could see prices hitting yet new highs, that interest has started to show signs of life as well.
Suki, you also look at platinum, and platinum has actually been the strongest performing precious metal over the past month. This is a supply issue, isn't it?
It very much is. We still forecast the platinum market to be in surplus. We were looking for a surplus at the start of the year. What the supply disruptions have meant is that that surplus has fallen, and we've seen production losses in excess of 300,000 ounces for the platinum market. So to put that into context, annual supply is around about the 7 million mark. But overall, the demand side has been quite lackluster, particularly the concerns out of the European auto demand. So what we've seen is that the supply disruptions have boosted prices.
Right.
But if the supply disruptions ease, we could see a correction there.
How much of the demand for platinum is industrial versus retail?
For platinum, it's mostly an industrial metal. So 50% of demand comes from the auto side. And then we have demand from the electronic side and the chemical market as well. Jewelry demand typically is around about the 20-25% mark, but investment demand is much smaller for platinum. So in terms of the growth in the investment side, it does have an impact, but it's mostly industrial.
I'm sure I'm at fault of this, folks, but I always ignore silver. I just go gold, gold, gold.
The poor man's gold.
I know I'm wrong on this, but give us an update on silver.
Silver's been an interesting market as well this year. We're looking for a market to be in surplus. Most of the time, silver, the mine supply side gets ignored for silver. Silver mine supply hit a record high back in 2004 and has hit fresh record highs every single year since. So the market is very well supplied. The industrial side has been well as well. We've seen some good growth, some new technology developments as well supporting growth. But really, because silver is in surplus, it's even more dependent on the investment side, and it needs good growth on the investment demand to make up for that excess supply. And we, again, like gold, we've seen a pickup on the investment side. We've got ETFs are not at a record high. Speculative positioning, coin sales are not at the sort of levels that we saw last year. So prices have started to struggle a little bit, but we really need to see much stronger growth for prices to gain traction. Silver's actually the one that we would caution the most on, saying that that's the one that's most exposed to downside risk, given how dependent it is on investment demand.
Suki Cooper, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.